wanted to get my side in on some of that before you get your side.
Well, let me tell you another story. I'm really excited to be here with you and thank the Lord for the opportunity. We accepted the pastorate of this church back in January 1975. I was just 20 years old, and my wife was a little older than me, and she's 3 weeks older than me, but I can never give her a break because of that. But so here we are, let's see, we're 67 now, so 47 years ago, we accepted the pastorate of Traverse City Church, and there were 6 members, and that was counting us at the time, and then we were meeting in the old building over on Webster Street, and we thought we were ready. Little did we know. We were excited. We had a good zeal. 20 years old, you know, we were a whole lot more filled with vim and vigor than we are today. But we still get excited about the Lord's work, about preaching the word of the Lord. And we pray to be a blessing to you. And God has blessed the church here through the years, and we're so thankful to see many of you that we've known and been in services with, even way back when you guys were kiddies. Some of you were real young back in that time. And matter of fact, I'm surprised that Sister Barb remembered the sleepover the girls had. And I think they remember more about the fact that me and the boys snuck out while they were watching some scary program or something. I can't remember what it was, but we got outside and we clawed on the windows and hollered. Pandemonium broke loose. Britta, give me that I love you, dear, look. I was glad she didn't have a stick in her hand or something at the time. But, yeah, we've got a lot of precious memories. And Lord's been good to us, and the Lord's been good to the church here. We're so thankful for that. We've got to the point where we've raised our kids, and we're enjoying grandkids. Oh, grandkids are a lot of fun. Because you can just have fun with them and spoil them. Send them back to mom and dad to discipline and take care of them. So we, and I always try to tell a little grandkid story here or there when I'm preaching. And all of us have been through the remote services with the COVID stuff going on. And I'd go down to our church house with my older son, Daryl Bryant. And he'd record, and I'd preach to an empty church building, and so forth. I think Brother Graber's had that experience, and so forth. But our youngest son, Brent, learned how to somehow get it from his phone to come up on his big screen TV at his house. He got like this 60-inch television. It's about as wide as I am tall. And so come church time, he called the kids in. He's got Elisa's 11 and Connor was 7 at the time. He come in from his bedroom and he come around and looked at the TV, and there I was. He goes, "Whoa! Did Papa get famous or something? What you doing on TV?" So, I haven't got famous or something, but I'm not as technically advanced when someone does something over the internet or something, I still watch it on the small screen. So, but we have fun with the grandkids and are so blessed in so many ways. We wrestled much about what to preach, and we want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah. I really prayed as I got into this. I so greatly enjoy so much of the wonderful things that are found in this book of Nehemiah. And I'll give you a little overview before we get down to the portion of Scripture here in Nehemiah that we want to share as our message for the night. And like I said, I actually kind of thought and prayed about doing four straight messages from the book of Nehemiah, but the Lord ultimately didn't lead that way and gave us peace of heart about this one. But the book of Nehemiah is a wonderful book for many different spiritual truths and lessons in serving the Lord. And a lot of people know and focus on the rebuilding of the wall. And it was a great miracle of God, and God enabled them. And what they said never could be done was actually done in relatively few months compared to what everybody thought. But Nehemiah, it started with a personal burden for the Lord's people, the Lord's work. And that's where everything has to start. Anything for the Lord has to start in the heart. Starts with, first of all, the Lord working in your heart. To know Him. To trust Him. To be saved. And then burdened for serving the Lord. Doing what the Lord would have you to do. And Nehemiah was burdened in chapter 1. And he prayed and he fasted and wept certain days. And the Lord led him and gave him liberty to go and seek to rebuild the walls. We pray tonight that if you're here not saved, the Lord will burden your heart, that He'll convict you of your sin, make you realize that outside of the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that He suffered and bled and died for, you don't have any other hope. You don't have any other means to serve the Lord or to become the Lord's. And then we pray that as you seek to serve the Lord as someone saved, you might serve Him from the heart. You might serve Him from a burden to live for the Lord and serve the Lord. Then Nehemiah was not only blessed with the liberty to go, but he received letters from the king for provisions, for a material needed to help build the wall. And he got there and he shared his burden with the people, and the people responded. And the Bible says that the walls were coming together and so forth, for the people had a mind, had a heart to work. And there was opposition. There was challenges. There were those that hated what they were doing. And we'll touch on that more in our message. But the Lord blessed and led them and strengthened them. And there was a time where they worked with one hand and held a spear or a sword in the other. But they kept on working. They didn't let the work stop. They rebuilt the wall, and it was a great blessing, a great miracle of God. But so much more than that happened in Nehemiah. Under Nehemiah's leadership, they got their society straightened out. Here they were in such a terrible mess and so forth, and some of the leaders of Israel was taking advantage, and even for the sake of money and usury and so forth, that making bond servants out of fellow Hebrews. Nehemiah, he rebuked them. I mean, he laid it on the line with them. And they repented of the way they were doing, and they got a lot of different things straightened out in their society. And then later on, and I believe this is every bit, well, I'm going to say it's more important than the building of the wall. They got spiritually right with the Lord. They got spiritually right with the Lord. The Word of God was read. The Word of God was received. And by the Word of God, they repented. And then ultimately, they rejoiced in the Word of God. And they got spiritually right. They got spiritually back to the Lord and the way of the Lord. And so while the rebuilding of the wall was a great work and blessing of God, spiritually, you know, a lot of people, it's just the way of it. So many times there's a focus on the physical, but the spiritual is always the most important. A right relationship with the Lord. Always. Always the most important. Now, the passage that the Lord has burdened our heart about, we want to look in Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 1. In the midst of all of this, there was a plan hatched and devised to do mischief, to do dirty, to do evil to Nehemiah. But he didn't fall for it. He didn't give in to it. Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 1. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, the Arabian, the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no more breach left therein, though at the time I had not set up the doors of the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, "Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono." I thought this was a good name for where they wanted to meet. Oh no. Because that's what Nehemiah needed to say to him. Oh no. It says, "But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? And yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner." Let us pray. Dear God, I ask now you give me grace to share your word with your people here and just work in our midst. Lord, whatever spiritual need we have in our hearts and lives, we ask you to work and move and bless and provide. We thank you for this opportunity. Thankful for another time to be gathered with your people and one of your churches, Father. Just get all honor and glory and praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. The title of our message is, "Don't Come Down." Don't come down. We want to share an acrostic outline using the word "down." An acrostic outline is where you take a word and you make a point scripturally and spiritually from each letter of that word. And that's what we desire to do tonight. They called unto Nehemiah. They planned to somehow do him dirty. And they sent messengers unto them. Nehemiah sent messengers unto them. I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Oh, what a powerful answer. What a powerful, wonderful response Nehemiah made to these that were plotting against him. As we think about what was transpiring here, we have a lot of what's going on today. The word D and down, or the letter D and down, I believe it should represent deceit and distraction. So many are caught up today in some sort of deception. So many today are distracted. You know, Satan can never get our soul. Satan can never take away our eternal life in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Once we're saved, we're always saved. Once we're saved, we're secure in the Lord. But if Satan can somehow deceive us, trick us to somehow trip us up, if Satan can somehow distract us from the way of the Lord, from the work of the Lord, oh, how I believe he loves it. I believe it's one of the greatest works of Satan is to work in subtlety, in deception, in deceit. To work to distract, to get our focus off the Lord. To get our minds and hearts shifted from our service to something in this world. And beloved, mark it down. Anytime that happens, we're coming down. We're coming down. We're going down. Anytime we give in to the deceptions and distractions of the devil, it takes us down. We're going down. Nehemiah said, I can't come down. I can't come down. I can't. I don't have time to mess with you guys. I don't have time to let the work stop, to go over there and to, you know, fall into your trap. Oh, beloved, let us beware of the deception, the distractions that are constantly swirling around us, especially in this day, in this life. Never before have we lived in a world, I mean, God's people have always been the target of the old devil. And he's always sought to deceive. But today it's so rampant. Never before has there been a means to somehow be distracted or deceived 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You got the internet and all the garbage that's on the internet and so forth. And you've got all kinds of things. You know, 24-hour shopping and 24-hour entertainment places and one thing and another. And never before, I believe, have we been bombarded by so much deceit and distraction. The good old days, you know. Matter of fact, I remember when I was a young fellow, I remember even in Traverse City, back before Myers was built, some of the other stores. Man, if you didn't get out by about 9 o'clock and get what you were getting, you didn't get it. The store shut down. Now, 24/7, you know, 24/7 everything. Oh, beloved, Nehemiah said, I can't come down. I can't give in to your distractions and your deceptions. We find the O in the word down. We need to realize we're always going to have opposition. Never going to be smooth sailing. never going to be easy going. We're always going to have opposition. We're always going to have those against us. We have the world and the flesh and the devil to contend with. And believe me, if it's not coming from the world and it's not coming from the devil, we need to watch our own selves. Some of the greatest battles we have is with our old flesh. Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7, even when I would do good, evil is present with me. Beloved, it hasn't changed. Human nature, the old fleshly nature, hasn't changed. The Bible warns us about Satan. Look in 1 Peter chapter 5 with me, this scripture. 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter 5, 8, be sober. Now, don't confuse being sober, and people have done this for years. There's a distinction between being sober or serious about our service to the Lord and being stoic. To be sober doesn't mean we have to be stoic. We can laugh, we can cut up, we can enjoy fellowship, we can enjoy God's service and so forth. But let us be serious about this. If we're serious about anything spiritual, let's be serious about this. Be vigilant. Tell you what, you can't take off any time from watching out for our great adversary. About the time you take some time off, that's when the old Satan's going to get you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I mean, he don't have to nap or sleep, and he doesn't get tired like we do. And he doesn't age and kind of wear down as the years go by. Beloved, Satan, he's as much of an adversary and roaring lion walking about seeking to devour right now as he's ever been. Amen. Right now as he's ever been. He don't need holidays. He don't need no vacation. He don't need to ever take a break. Be sober. Be vigilant. Constantly on guard and aware. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. You know, I've watched some interesting outdoor programs studying a pride of lions. And they're kind of slip in the weeds. And they'll lay there sometimes for hours just watching a herd of gazelle until they pick one out. Maybe one's looking a little lame. Maybe one's acting a little sickly. Maybe one has a tendency to drift off away from the whole herd. And they're focused on that one. And they'll reach forth, they'll run, they'll attack that one. They often don't attack the strongest, the most vigilant, the most weary. It's maybe a sick one, or an older one, or a lame one, or just a careless one. those are the ones they pounce on. And when they pounce, I noticed in watching the program, lions never show any mercy. Never show any mercy. When they pounce, don't matter what beast or what animal they're pursuing, they do it with all their vigor and all their might and all their energy. Oh, they thought to do Nehemiah mischief. Nehemiah was aware of it. And he had dealt with their opposition. I mean, you consider from the very start, they laughed at him and they mocked him. Said, even what they build, if a little fox jumps up on that wall, it'll tumble down. Then they threatened him. We're going to come in at night with our swords and our spears and get you. Then they lied about him. We're sending letters back to the king and back to the leaders round about how the Jews intend to rise up and revolt and so on. And then they tried their deception. Come on down, Nehemiah. Let's sup together. Let's fellowship together. Come on down. Let's have a conference here and about things. And Nehemiah said, I cannot come down. Don't have time to mess with y'all. Don't have time to be sidetracked. Turned away. Beloved, the W and the word down, I believe, needs to represent work. Because that's what we're saved for.
Amen.
We're saved to work. You know, our mission work in Mayfield, we took the name Blessed Hope from the passage of Scripture in the book of Titus chapter 2. Let's go over there and read and look at what it says. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Beloved, we're born workers. We're born again by the grace of the Lord to work. So much of the perversion of modern evangelism is just the idea. Don't you just want to know the love of the Lord and be blessed of the Lord and all this prosperity gospel that promoted by all these mega churches and stuff? Beloved, we're saved to work. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, it tells us, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, get this last part, and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. No one's saved just to stay out of hell. No one's saved. Christ isn't just a fire escape from eternal condemnation.
Amen.
Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, a special people, zealous of good works. We're saved to be workers. Paul said in a place that we were laborers together with God. Laborers together with God. Beloved, we're doing a great work. You could be a brain surgeon and not be doing as great a work as being a faithful, loving member of one of the Lord's churches. You could be the president of the United States and not be doing as great a work as being a faithful, loving member of one of the Lord's churches. Nehemiah said, I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. Why should the work cease? Why I come down to you? Beloved, it's a great work because it's God's work.
Amen.
Every faithful witness, every faithful obedience, every faithful act of following the Lord, every faithfulness in service and in praise and in worship, it's a great work. Because it's God's work. And there isn't a greater work to be done in this whole earth than God's work. We can't do better. We can't do greater. I've been one of those people. I've always taken a certain amount of pleasure at doing a job to where, you know, the folks I work for would take note, would tell me from time to time, good job. Everybody likes to hear that. What about the Lord? There's nobody better that we can do a good job for than the Lord. There's no greater work to be done. What we do for the Lord, I mean, we could do the best job in the world at any particular endeavor, and it's for this world. The work we do for God, it's forever. It's eternal. The blessedness of it, the wonder of it, we'll experience it forever and ever in the Lord. Brother Cawley. Brother Paul Cawley. The one the Lord used to be a missionary to start this church. Many times I'd heard him preach. And he'd end up, he said two things almost every time I heard him preach. One was to encourage folks to keep on keeping on. One of his favorites said, just keep on keeping on. But so often, at the conclusion of his message, say, oh, brother, one of my great hopes is to serve the Lord. And to hear from the lips of Jesus, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Oh, beloved, there's no work any greater, any more important. There's no one any better to please throughout the course of our life than our Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. People get all caught up in secular work and think it's just the most important thing ever. Nah. The Lord's work is the most important thing ever. And for us to one day stand in glory and hear that, well done. Bear with me. I like what the psalmist David said. Turn to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. Psalm 84, verse 10. Well, verse 9 it says, "Behold, O God, our shield, look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts, in thy house, is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." David was a king. He was wealthy. In his day and time, he had all that was available to know and to enjoy. And yet he'd say, "A day in thy courts is better than 1,000. And I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." Beloved, we're workers. We've got a work to do today. We've got a great loving Heavenly Father to please. And oh, how he blesses we who trust in him and just keep on keeping on. Hoping one day to hear, "And well done, thou good and faithful servant. Been faithful over few. Make you a ruler over many." Lastly, the end and down never. Never, no, never give up or give in. Nehemiah said, "I can't come down. I'm doing a great work. It can't cease while I come down." And they called at him, and they called at him, and they sent messenger after messenger. And he responded every time, "I can't come down. I can't mess with you guys. I can't get sidetracked. I can't give up. I can't give in." Oh, beloved, if you look through the scriptures, you look at some of the greatest promises of God, and they're to overcomers. Not the overcome, but overcomers. We have in Romans chapter 12. We think about this wicked world that we live in today. We think about how vile and evil our world today and our politicians today and our society and our entertainers, and they all have come to the fulfillment of that passage in Isaiah that God pronounced woe on those that call evil good and good evil. And that's just the day we live in. But we have this exhortation in Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. It starts off in verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your outstanding, amazing, beyond reason service. It's not what it says, is it? That's not how the Word of God puts it, is it? No. Which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And it goes through some wonderful things here in Romans 12, but look at verse 21. Look at how it closes. Verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We have in the book of Revelation some of the last words of Jesus recorded, and he has those words recorded to each of the seven churches, which I believe were just simply seven churches. And they had their issues, and they had their problems, and they had their challenges, and so forth. But the Lord said, made this statement in closing to each of them, verse 7, Revelations 2. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And after each of his counsel and teachings and yea, his rebukes to the seven churches, the statement is made after each one. To him that overcometh, to him that overcometh, to him that overcometh. And there's a special promise and a special blessing with each statement that the Lord makes here. Beloved, let us be committed to being part of those that overcome. Part of those that are part of those that receive the promise, he that overcometh, not we that are overcome. Oh, beloved, don't come down. Let us take the example of Nehemiah. Let's realize the mischief. Let's realize the opposition. Let's realize the deception. Let's realize the need today is not for those that want to go to heaven on a bed of ease. Those that just want smooth sailing on to glory. But beloved, we're the workers of the Lord. We're doing the greatest work that can ever be done in anybody's life, anywhere, anytime. And let us never, never, no, never give up. God bless you.